Okay. A trigger, it's a good one, is something that happens that you choose to get angry about when someone calls you a bad name. Again, the choice. You don't have to get angry, but that's what the trigger is. There are two types of triggers, external triggers and internal triggers. An external trigger are things that people say or do that you feel angry about. Another person pushing you, an external, right, and examples they say, and if you want, there's not enough time today, I will get you to put your external triggers, but someone makes a face at you, someone gossips about you, you fail a test. Those are external triggers, a threat, you know, my sister coming and sitting in my chair, that's an external trigger. However, the work that we do is really much more on the internal triggers. Okay? Because the internal triggers is what the child tells himself to do after the poke, the tease, or threat. Okay? When considering the aspect of internal triggers, there are two considerations to be aware of. One, that is not unusual for children who have anger difficulties to, this is what I'm going to, misinterpret the social situation. They do not believe that neutral or accidental situation should occur, right? Okay? And two, the importance of the role of the person's self-talk. This refers to the types of internal message they give themselves. Both items are extremely important to explore their cognitive structures. And I'm not going to talk about very much into cognitive structures, but that, in fact, is the meat of working with anger control, is to change the child from 4, from 5, to 6, to 7, to 8, their internal structure, how they see a situation. But before I get into that, because often what they'll do is make a lot of what is called thinking errors. Okay? And what you're trying to get the child is to learn different ways of approaching their thinking errors. So, internal triggers, are things that you tell yourself, like you tell yourself people will think you're a sissy if you don't fight. You tell yourself you're stupid and you can't pass the test because you failed the last two tests you took. You keep thinking about a fight you had with your brother. You think about how you can revenge. Anybody else want to add some internal triggers from your own experiences, if you dare? External is easy. Internal is much harder to think about. Anybody? Come on. Right. So you put your thinking in a box that everybody is stupid, everybody's always bothering me. Right. Right. In that box. Okay. Very good. Anybody else? Perfect. Perfect. Right, that's a thinking error, right? I know, right, exactly. That's a very good example. Somebody else had it, right? Yeah. Right, no one ever hears me. Therefore, you get angry, okay? Anybody else? An internal trigger that person is an idiot or does something like me. Yeah, those are the exactly. Okay. Well, that's an external trigger, but the internal trigger is what? I think I'm stupid. Okay, that's the thing you have to change, because you can tease me and you can call me an idiot, right? Or you can call me a slob, which probably is true. Okay, or you can call me a lot of different things. But the point is that what I think about it, right? Okay? How I think about it, what I think about it, it will determine how I react about it. Okay? If you could think that process, then that will change the way you react to the situation. Okay? So, what I did, and I really do not want to go too much into it, okay, because it will take a long time, but I've given you 10B. I decided this today, in fact, to give it to you so you can take it home. All right? Is distorted thinking. And I am sure that if I go through just the headings, I'm not going to go through all the definitions, that probably a lot of your kids have the first one. All or nothing thinking. There's no grace. Everything is either good or bad, and there's never anything in between. That, in fact, is something that is one of the biggest problems with anger, with kids who get angry, because they tend to be so rigid in their approach. On the other hand, it's sometimes they come from families where everything is very rigid, and they learn that model that as well. Overgeneralizing is another one. Catastrophizing, making things bigger than they are, minimization, making things less, predicting the future, always negative thoughts, I'm never going to have a good time, and that's why they have the temper tantrum before you go out, because last time something happened, they always predict wrong, sometimes because of learning disabilities as well, they don't do well, but that's a different issue. Ignoring the positives, predicting the future, fixed rules, words such should, ought, must, and thinking rigidly, all these type of things, when you're really working with kids with anger, and it's not your job, I'm giving you the other stuff to do, but my job, or you can help or learn more about it, is to teach them and to challenge them on their thoughts. Did that really happen every time? Did it happen? Are you sure about that? Let's see about this example. You really, in a sense, need to do, so you can challenge your children, but if you're going to do it in an angry way, you're just going to add to more anger. And personalization is always making it a personal thing, or for some kids it's always an ego trip. Everything is surrounded about them. So those are some ideas that perhaps if I give a talk again, I would on part two, I would really talk about, you know, the cognitive areas and how to work through them. And now comes a very important area, and then I'll open up to questions. It's called evaluation, self-evaluation. It's a page 11, problem solving, which is really the last topic. And I use what's called the upset model. The upset model, which teach your kids, and you can teach your own kids, is, and you can sit with them. If you're to the point that you can sit with them and talk about their anger and stuff like that, you can do this as well. Is step one, and even you can do it with young children. I've worked with kids and I've got them to draw pictures and stuff like that. It does not always have to be words. Step one is understand the problem, plan a list of alternate solutions, help the child. That stops the rigidity, to find different ways to think about things, select one solution, select one anger control strategy, establish how to use the solution. Which is really, really important, because what you read, if you read on the second line, in step four, what are all the factors you have to consider to ensure that your plan is successful? How that you have announced it, even number one, how that you have chosen your plan, decide how you will actually accomplish it. But also, I'm talking about the wrong one. I apologize. Take that away. Step five, talk. Once you try a solution, use either self-talk or talk with others. Was your solution successful in solving your problem? In other words, the self-evaluation, the importance of self-evaluation is such that you have to help the child understand that when you start the anger control, the reducers and everything like that, in the beginning, the probability they won't be that successful. You have to say to them in a positive way, it didn't work that well this time, but at least you tried this. Let's try another solution. You really have to model a much more evaluative model. Not everything works. And that's what number five is. Was your solution successful in solving your problem? Is this positive way of looking at things and how to work with your children at that point? And the last one, and I'll open it up, is I've given you some coping statements that a child can learn for themselves, or you can learn yourself when you parent them. Okay, stay calm, just relax, of course. Just roll with the punches, don't get bent out of shape, etc. Slow down, take a few deep breaths. try to reason it out, treat each other with respect, just things that you will say to yourself that will give you a way of self-statements that will help the child learn better coping statements. And you can see all of these are very positive. You've got to change the negative to the positive way of looking and how you help them with their anger control. So therefore, at the end, we come with the anger behavior cycle, which is the triggers, external and internal. The external meaning the outside situation. The internal is the cognitive structures that start the distorted thinking, which leads to the cues, right? Okay? But once you start changing the external triggers, the internal triggers, and you let the child learn about the cues, and then learn about the anger reducers, you're breaking the anger cycle at that point. And that's what you have to teach the child, is that there is a cycle, and that you can help to break it by doing certain things at certain times. Questions? Easier said than done. I know. But as I said before, it's a skill training. It's not going to work right away. You have to work at it. Yeah.
I am with you. I understand. I can do that. But the child has a natural behavior like one of the parents.
Okay?
Now, he deals with the parents and you go on. The child is exactly carbon-carbon.
Right.
You do everything, workshop, calm down. So when you say, okay, give me a break. Now, you want a break. Now, you just tell me this. Now, you tell me that, and it goes on. And it goes on like a little bit understanding, and then again, cloudy, storm, rain, a little bit of sunshine, and a little bit of rain. And it's a pattern. It's like a photocopy that keeps going, no matter how nice, good. If you give a present of flowers or a card, I don't get that. Give me. How? And it's a loving child. It's a loving... And then they turn around and it's like, you're the bad dad. You made me like that. You turned me like that. You are like that. And it's a carbon copy. How do you erase?
But it's a carbon copy of
one of the parents.
So can't you change the behavior of the parents?
No.
As I said before, this is not a parenting course. But have you tried this type of thing?
Pardon? Have you? Is it a question?
Yes, it is.
This is years of, like, if you get honey, it's
you know what? I appreciate the situation, but I have a feeling I'm not going to be able to answer it here. I think I need to.
And you never can solve it.
That is all or none thinking distortion number one. How old is the child?
An adult.
An adult, okay.
An adult, educated.
Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
You were talking earlier about the child taking responsibility.
Right.
Whole time in there, she's saying it's her sister's fault or her brother's fault or it's everyone else's fault but her own. So I'm wondering, how do you transfer responsibility to herself?
Part of it is what if a quick fix might be more of using an external behavioral method with her. Like really looking at sometimes with younger children, sometimes you know, the little stickers and stuff like that. You're looking for one little thing that you, one time they don't do it, or they use some type of strategy that they're angry, and you sort of make a contract with them, we're going to do something like that. And sometimes you model it yourself and you show her the model, okay? And you even talk out loud, oh, I could have blamed that person, but I didn't blame that person. I mean, there's a lot of little things that you can do to sort of start getting her to see a different perspective. Okay, but that's a negative statement. So what I would do with that type of child is go back to what I talked about. Let's go and see what the patterns are, not even blaming at that point, and then seeing if I can give her some strategies to handle it differently and look at it in a much more positive way. That's how I would do it. Right. So the problem is that with an 18, 20 month old or 24, 2 year old is that some of these strategies are not going to work with her because they need some type of thinking process and stuff like that. My instinct is I would leave her alone when she gets so angry. Oh, sorry. You have an 18, 20 month old, a 40 year old that's going like an 18, 20 month. No, just kidding. Sorry. An 18, 20 month and having a lot of temper tantrums. And my philosophy is I tend to feel that unless you know there's a reason why they're getting angry, is to sort of ignore it as much as possible and see what happens. And then also so I would take her out of the situation, let her have her temper tantrum at that point. Yeah, go ahead, please. The thinking, yeah. Okay, so you give me a situation that they're in a classroom situation, the teacher, and they don't follow through and stuff like that. But one of the things of when you do cognitive, you know, is the statement is life is not always fair, and the child has to learn that thing that it's not always fair, because that means it's all or nothing. Do you get everything you want all the time? You don't. And you're going to have to learn how to cope. That's part of the thinking that you have to do. Otherwise, it gets into all or none thinking all the time. Right. Yeah, there's a jump in there.
Verbal expression as opposed to acting out.
You mean like swearing and stuff like that?
No, I mean the child is angry, and you've been so far unsuccessful in these diversionary tactics. Whatever. I mean, in preparation. Or at least you haven't reached that point yet of the child being able to control their feelings of anger. So you are trying to encourage the child at least to verbally express the feeling, as opposed to smashing something or even punishing themselves, banging their head on something. I'm actually asking two questions in one. One is self-harm
for self-punishment.
The other one is, where does verbal expression of anger, and sometimes maybe legitimate anger, where does that fit into this?
Okay, so again, I will go back to the ABC model. If verbal expression of anger helps them to a certain extent to make them less angry in different situations, right, then maybe I would look at it. But for me, anger is, and I should have defined it in the beginning, is verbal expressions of anger, right, is anger, and that's an anger control problem. Okay, and I would rather work with that kid to teach them some of the methods of how to control their anger by looking at their processes and thinking, rather than allowing them to have expressing their anger all the time. Because what happens typically is that the arousal system gets so high that you don't know, as I showed you that ladder in the beginning, the next step is it's going to become physical. And that's the worry I always have.
So saying something like, I'm angry at you, and trying to encourage them to say, I'm angry at you, as opposed to hitting them,
If a child has been hitting and now they're saying I'm angry, that's great. That's a great thing. But the next step is, okay, let's try to understand what makes them so angry and how they can handle it differently. In other words, if they're just saying I'm angry at you and they're using I statements, sure, that's great.
No, you're trying to encourage them to use the I statements instead of
reacting
up.
But my approach is I don't want them to say I'm angry. I wanted to learn them to reduce the anger and understand what is the pattern that gets them to be angry. Okay? I was told 3 minutes. there was just a gentleman here, right? Sorry, then I'll ask.
How far does a parent have to show anger to your child? Because when a child does something, you have to show some sort of disappointment, a sort of assertiveness, something. Show that now I'm the parent and this behavior won't be tolerated.
As I said before, it's not a parenting course, but I feel that there is a legitimacy for a parent to get angry sometimes as their children. My statement would be, it's impossible for you not to get angry at your behavior of your children. Question is it out of control? Do you really understand when you're doing that? Has that a consequence of changing the behavior? Or is, in fact, your anger, going to the ABC model, right, that the child does something, right, and you get angry, and the consequence is that he gets angry, and therefore what happens is nothing happens. Everybody gets angry. I never said that, in fact, I said right in the beginning that the idea here is for the child to take responsibility for their anger. That's all I can say. We want the child to understand that there are certain times their anger is not conducive to good pro-social behaviors. Yes.
I find that all these are great strategies. The problem that we have is that even a child who knows you, when you're in the midst of being angry, it's a very difficult time to use it. Is there something that you can suggest so that when you're actually angry,
right. So I work with ADHD kids, some ADHD kids. And that's a real problem because when they're really hyperactive and stuff like that, and they're angry at it as well, it's really hard sometimes because of their impulsivity how to teach them. So one of the things that I try to do, and I know it sometimes works and sometimes doesn't work, is I try to get them to look at a situation where even they start thinking about what they're going to be doing. Even though they get impulsive and they do the same thing, if I can get them that little moment, right, to think a little bit differently, then I can start working a little bit with it. And with certain kids, right, it takes a long, long time. It's a maturational thing. And you're right, these strategies won't always work because they're sort of wired in such a way that it takes them a long time for that to happen. And sometimes it's more of an anxiety and stress reaction than other things as well. Yeah, well, somebody took some copy. Somebody took a copy, and they were supposed to make some more. And I don't know what they haven't come back. So,
can we email them out after?
Email?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can email. I can leave.
It.
Now somebody from your bureaucracy took it. Okay. Okay, thank you.